You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
You're listening to The Ensemblist, the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. I'm Justin Mock. Hey, listeners. I'm Justin, and this is Choreographers Making Moves, a new mini-series highlighting female choreographers who are making a difference and making a name for themselves in the business. For our second episode, we're so excited to bring you someone who booked her Broadway debut while still a student at NYU, and has continued to channel her incredible talents not just towards an impressive performing career, but also as a breakout choreographer herself, the wonderful Carla Garcia. Most recently performing as a swing in Hamilton on Broadway, she's also choreographing a brand new musical, Other World, slated for its debut at Bucks County Playhouse in the fall of 2021. We'll talk about what she's learned while performing for other choreographers, how she found her own voice as a creator, and the importance of saying yes to opportunities. But we begin our conversation with how she got her start, which, interestingly enough, is linked to our last episode, choreographer Rachel Dolan. All right, listeners, here's my conversation with Carla Garcia.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yeah, Rachel and I grew up in the same area, like the D.C. area.
Oh my gosh, yeah, she mentioned that in the episode.
We grew up like competing together.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah, and she said that you both worked with Debbie Allen.
We did, yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
We didn't do the same show, yeah, but Debbie Allen was doing... She would always do a series, like she did it for a few years, but at the Kennedy Center, she did like a children's series and you'd audition. And it was just a great opportunity for the area, like to work with a legend and do a show. Like it was, she treated it just like a Broadway show. I did Brothers of the Night and I did that show. I always recall that show. I think she did the next show the next year, but I think, yeah, I always recall that experience because I met so many talented people in that show. That show brought together all this talent that literally I see in New York City, on Broadway, in films. I see them everywhere, in LA. The talent in the DC metro area is incredible. And I'm like a proud like DMV. I just think like there's just a lot of talent that comes from the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. So that's so cool. Yeah, I haven't seen Rachel in a while, but I've been seeing, you know, some of her stuff pop up. So I'm really happy that she's creating and like it's another female voice. So it's cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And yeah. She had the best things to say about you as a dancer and as a choreographer. Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome.
Totally. And you both have that Debbie Allen thing. That's so cool. Who knew that that would be an incubator for so many people's, like the start of so many people's careers?
Yes. Like literally in Hamilton, my coworker, Tanari Vasquez, she was 12 years old and I was 12 and she was like 11, but that's where we met. Like she's from Virginia and I went on to continue to replace her in like a couple Broadway shows. Like I replaced her in West Side Story, in Gigi. I was kind of always like Tanari's replacement. and then she got to Hamilton and she was the newbie. And I was like, hey, because I had been in the show for so long. But yeah, but we met then and I had just submitted an audition for a movie as a dancer. Like, I'm still auditioning, you know, so I submitted an audition for a new movie choreographed by Chloe Arnold, who is an incredible tapper. And she was in that show as well. And I'm also watching Walking Dead. I'm rewatching it with David just because I wanted to. But the spinoff, Fear of the Walking Dead, stars Corey Hawkins, who is from Brothers of the Night, and he went on to play Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton, the movie, and he was the star of the 24 spinoff. Like, it's just like seeing all these people, I'm like, wait, wow. Literally, like, you were 12. Like, we were all so young, right. And now everyone's taking over. Yeah, it's cool.
I know.
And I actually my first Broadway show, Hot Feet, starred Vivian, Debbie Allen's daughter. Yeah.
Ah,
and
wow.
Yeah, it was like really full circle. And then when I was on So You Think You Can Dance, I think Debbie was a judge on one of the episodes. But that experience, like, I don't even know if Debbie connected and remember, you know, it just moved so fast and like the thing. But anyway, yeah. So all in all, it's really cool to, yeah, connect.
Yeah. Absolutely. What was your Broadway debut like in Hot Feet? Was that a goal of yours? Was it kind of a fluke, like somewhere in between? Where did that fit in with your like creative goals at the time?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. So I was in school. I was at NYU Tisch at the time, and I was a senior, my third year, because it's a three-year program. And I went to an open call, and it was one of my first auditions because I didn't really have time to audition. And I was really intimidated by that whole environment. Like, I had a lot of friends that were still in college that did audition, but I stayed in my little like NYU 10 block radius. You know, I went to school and I didn't really do that. But yeah, I like went in between classes, and I went to Midtown, and I danced. Like, I was so naive, and I was like, I guess you just have to dance really, really hard. And so I just, you know, went for it. And Maurice picked me out, and he was like, you can dance. Like, you can really dance. And I was like, thank you. And you know, I was like, oh, that must be a good thing. So he said callbacks would be in a couple of days. And I'm like, well, I'm definitely getting a callback. I mean, that felt right. So then 2 days passed and I don't hear anything. And, you know, I went through the whole, oh, this is what everyone says. Like, you have to, you know, just accept rejection. And I know he liked me, but it must have been something else, like things you can't control. You know, it's that whole thing. And I told my parents, and my dad like was like, yeah, you know, this, and they consoled me. So I kind of already went through that whole stage.
Sure.
And then I check an email that I don't normally check, but it was Paul Hart Casting. They were like, Carla, we've been trying to dial this phone number. You know, we really need you to come to the callback. And he listed the phone number, one digit on the number that I guess was on my resume was incorrect. So they were dialing a wrong number and never got a hold of me.
Oh, wow.
So it was, yeah. And so I immediately call and I'm like, hey, this is Carla Garcia. I see that you're trying to get a hold of me. And Paul was like, hey, we've been looking for you. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Is there another callback? He was like, no, you missed it. But Maurice absolutely loved you. You booked the show. What?
No.
It's the weirdest story. No one understands, like, because that doesn't happen.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Like, you don't go to an open call and then miss the callback.
And still get the job.
They saved you a spot. So I definitely attest that to luck. And, you know, I made an impression, but I was very lucky. So yeah. And it's funny because that was my Broadway debut and it was amazing. Cut to just sidebar, Paul Hart is actually the casting director for a show I'm currently choreographing called Otherworld. It's like my big project right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Which is so exciting.
It is exciting, but it is kind of full circle because I was like, oh, Paul, remember when you tried to track me down, like my Broadway debut, and now he's casting a show I'm choreographing. So it's funny.
I know.
Yeah.
That's
it's cool.
So amazing.
It is cool. But yeah, so Hot Feet was like, it was so exciting. I had to take off my last semester from NYU. Everyone was very supportive. I took a leave of absence to do the show. It debuted in DC, in my hometown, at the National Theater for out-of-town tryout. And then we ran for 3 months on Broadway, which was quite long considering the reviews we got. I mean, it was not a hit. not a hit at all. But I'm just such a glass half full girl where, you know, I got my Broadway debut. Sure. I got an agent. I met like incredible people. The way that I got the show was very rare. I was very grateful.
Sure.
And so luckily it ended in time for me to come back to NYU and finish my last semester, and I got to graduate. So that was a fun experience. And I wasn't choreographing yet. I really only started choreographing later on in my performance career. And I think that's because I also developed a voice from the influences I had from working with many different choreographers.
Like,
sure. I always enjoyed it in my teaching jobs. So my in-between gig was always teaching. I wasn't very good at really anything else, like retail or I really tried it. I worked at a restaurant and I got the like delivery orders wrong. And I got all this food sent to the kitchen that like wasn't supposed to have. It just like all these things happened that were like, and then I got let go from Express. Remember the shop Express? Is that still? No, that's still a shop. I worked
yes.
there. All right.
Oh, it's still
I
around.
Buy from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still around. Late hours. Like, and my schedule was, my energy wasn't in it. And I think, So for me, like it was teaching at a dance studio. And when you teach at a dance studio, as most people know, you know, like you have to create content. So you create content for dance combinations and that starts a whole thing
right.
in your brain and in your spirit. So I always enjoyed it. And I started choreographing for dance competition studios, where that is a whole nother outlet and way to explore your voice. But I think as far as like feeling super confident in my movement and what I have to say as a choreographer, that definitely came after working with all these choreographers and the many shows that I've been in, for sure.
That's amazing. So Hoffie happens, you're teaching for a while, you're starting to find your own voice. Then West Side is kind of your next influential place. Like Jerome Robbins, I was reading your bio and your website, what is an inspiration for you. Mm-hmm. Did it happen doing the revival, or were you always a fan of his?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up at a dance studio that produced Broadway performers and Rockettes, and so dance for Broadway and musical theater specifically was always the goal. So we had a lot of insight into the pioneers like Bob Fosse and Jack Cole and Jerome Robbins. And we weren't taught a lot of like musical theater, hardcore musical theater, but in terms of dance, we understood who Fosse was, what that movement was, Jerome Robbins and, you know, West Side Story. But I always understood how iconic it was to be able to perform that choreography, you know, and that's how I felt when I booked the show.
Sure.
Yeah. Like I was like, wow, I get to do America and I get to do the Somewhere Ballet. But I think I was still in my teaching at dance studios stage of my life, where it was kind of like compartmentalizing performing and choreography. So I think that the getting to do Jerome Robbins choreography was subliminally affecting my voice, but I wasn't like consciously being like, oh great, this will be great to learn this. I think I was just being washed over by the experience. And I think after Hot Feet, I was actually on a hip hop dance crew called Boogie Bots. I don't put it in my bio or anything.
Oh, wow.
But
that's
so
cool.
But it was more of a social environment. I dated someone who was really in the scene and in the underground like hip hop scene. I also had a lot of friends that were involved in Culture Shock DC, which is like a non-for-profit hip hop. It's where people like the Jabberwockies or Keone and Mari, like they all, you know, like all had connections to Culture Shock. DC, LA, they have different groups throughout the country. That influence, I don't talk about it a lot, but I feel like just being around that environment, getting to go to house dance battles and underground foundational hip hop style battles in New York City, just being exposed to that world has definitely influenced a lot of my voice as a choreographer. Like street dancers are so free in how they hear music and just the whole culture of hip hop and how the specific styles of like whacking and locking and house and you know, I will never say that I mastered any of that, but I definitely was exposed to it and I soaked it all in for the time that I was introduced to it. So I definitely like to acknowledge that part of my life as how it influenced me in my choreography. So that combined with like doing like Jerome Robbins choreography and, you know, like, and honestly, like my time at Tisch at NYU, like I wasn't a, you had mentioned art school, you know, in the area, and I was a competition kid. Like I did like jazz and tap. And, but then when I got to NYU, like I was around lots of people who had gone to art schools, who had studied modern, who did more classical forms that I didn't do. And so just being around that, like I felt like a sponge, and it influenced the way I moved and the way I performed different movement. Because, you know, conservatories and dance conservatories are very different from like commercial dance programs. Like it's not like PACE commercial dance. Like it's like conservatories, you're really, you know, like you're studying how movement is the main event, even more than storytelling. It's not theater, you know, like it's like body state. It's like dance for your body and for movement and the aesthetic and how that can move an idea. Like it's very idea based. But it can be theatrical. But yeah, so that was, that's definitely also been, been an influence. So then West Side, and then, oh, sorry. I don't even know if I answered your question.
You absolutely did. Carla, you have a movement style and a choreographic style that is all your own. And as I'm talking to you and recognizing the house influence and Jerome Robbins, it all kind of starts to make sense and come together, because you do let all of those wash over you as you're working, and it shows in your material. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It kind of sounds like these big credits in a credit-driven industry have been very important, but it's also been the in-between moments for you that have allowed you to find your voice as a choreographer. And I guess before we move on to Hamilton, I wonder if there's any other moments you'd like to talk about that have influenced you as a choreographer, or maybe a spark for you that kind of was the moment that the choreographic bug like really bit you and took over your life.
Oh, that's such a great question. It's true. It's like everybody's journey as a choreographer or as a performer, it's like it's so different. You can't plan anything, and you can't plan how you're going to get inspired or when, you know, when is that moment. Oh, I did want to mention, it was Wicked. Wicked was another one. Wicked is very, it's like we call them champagne hands, like Wayne Cilento, you know, choreograph. It's more transitions in terms of the choreography for that show. If you're not looking for the dancing, you might not always recognize it, but I mean, people are dancing in that show. And I remember that was the, because right after Hot Feet, like that was my next like big show, and it was very successful. Yeah, so it was very well loved, and I toured with it, and I remember that the doing that choreography every night, like you when you start to teach and like teach classes, like all of your choreography starts to look like the choreography you're performing every night, you know, like you're like, sure, well this feels sure. Like it's gonna be really thrashy and very like Wicked-esque and lyrical jazz, you know, because that just happens, you know, it just happens, you're doing it night.
You're living in this material.
Literally living. And I remember even doing like benefits with other cast members during that tour. All of our dances were very much like very like Wicked-esque, because also we all moved like that, so it like made sense that, you know, we would do choreography like that. But that was a definitely another influence. I think that you're right though, it's the in-between moments. It's the teaching and choreography for dance studios, to be honest, like were, like you said, like they were definitely these glue between the big performances that were like, they kept the bridges between them that were like, okay, you're still growing. Like, you know, we always talk about like, oh wait, we're out of work and what are we doing? I left the Wicked tour after 7 months, and that's really controversial because it was during, my mom was like, what are you doing? It was during like the recession. It was like 2008 or something. And it was a great job. But at the time I was really interested in hip hop. I think I was in a long distance relationship. I was young and whatever. It all worked
long
out.
Distance is hard.
Oh my God, yeah, it's so hard. Totally. And you're like, I'm missing out on so many things. I wanted to get back to New York. But, you know, I am a big advocate for what brings you joy. And for me, I probably should have stayed a couple more months and saved some money. But like, I don't know. Like, I think if I'm not being fed creatively and like I'm not being fulfilled, I don't feel productive in that way. Like, it doesn't matter to me how much money I'm making, because to me, I can always figure that out. I can always figure that out with teaching and with the supplemental jobs that have always like helped me. Like, I've established the hustle. Right. Yeah. So hard. It's weird because I have a lot of credits, but honestly, like, they were all very – Hamilton's the longest job I've had, obviously. But the duration of time for these gigs that we're talking about are very short. Like, they were like a month or 2 months.
Right.
You know, Adam's Family was the longest. It was like a year besides Hamilton. Like, I committed to staying there. Yeah, but Wicked was 7 months. Gigi was like 2 months, a month. You know, it just sounds like a lot of credits, but they were short stints.
Yeah. And there was a lot of in-between time or some in-between time. Yeah.
Exactly. There was more in-between time, I would say. And that's where I really grew. Like, I grew there. And because I took hold of how I wanted to be creative. Like, I just wanted to teach and choreograph and on these, you know, mostly kids, like at these dance studios. And I think that there's a creative freedom about that because you're given license to really, like, you know, tell whatever story you want to tell. And then from there, obviously, like, for benefits on tour, like at Wicked and Adam's Family, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to choreograph something, you know, like, there's those opportunities. And I'm a big yes person. Like, I just say yes. That's why I'm also like overbooked in terms of like things. Yeah. Like, you know, like, they're like, do you want to do this thing? Yes. Do you have time? No, but we're going to make it work. It's going to be fine. You know, but I think I
such an important mindset, though. Such an important mindset.
I think so, because I feel like I like being held accountable. Like, I think that, you know, I do a lot of content for myself in terms of concept videos and things like that. But in order to make sure that I really do it, I'm like, oh, I'm inspired by this idea. I'm going to book space right now. So, okay, I'm booking space. Like, I have to do it. Oh, I'm asking these dancers. I didn't choreograph it yet or whatever, but I'm making the commitments, right? I'm like, okay, I got the dancers. I got the space. You have no choice. Like, you're going to do it, you know? And because I think that people get in their own way when they're like, oh, I'm not ready. I'm like, I don't give myself the choice. Like, so you just have to like try it, like just do it. And I feel myself getting better and better each time because I force myself to like be in that thing. So I guess I don't think there was like a moment. I think progressively over time, I have just become more confident. I definitely think teaching when I taught at Broadway Dance Center, I started teaching there right before Gigi, I think. And I had a class like Monday, Wednesdays from like 7 to 8:30. It was something in the evening, something very inconvenient for everybody. But I started with like, like 6 people. Sometimes there would be like 12 and I'd be like, oh my gosh, like it's a good day today, you know, but I was just doing my thing. Like, I just enjoyed like teaching. And then I got Gigi and, you know, so now I'm on the Broadway schedule and I continue to teach. But then when Hamilton happened, like, I feel like that platform really attracted a lot of people. And from there, I felt even more confident, and not saying like it was all Hamilton, but it was the in tandem with Hamilton. And at that point I was executing that choreography, which is probably the most influential, like Andy Blankenbuehler is like one of the most influential voices to me choreographically. And I just love his outlook on the use of ensemble and staging and idea and tension. And yeah, Hamilton happened, and then I'm still teaching at Broadway Dance Center. Like, I was able to use that platform to really, you know, say what I want to say. So if there was any kind of dramatic shift, it would probably be when I joined Hamilton. And then I choreographed our Broadway Cares piece like that year for Gypsy of the Year. Yeah, and it was just very honest. I collaborated with Kurt Crowley, our music director, and we did a Langston Hughes poem combined with Bob Marley's One Love. And so we collaborated, and it was a few dancers. I had just joined the show, and so it was like, oh, I get to choreograph, you know, and share with like the Broadway community. And we ended up winning that year.
Gosh, Carla, that's amazing.
Yeah. It was cool. I mean, I didn't expect it. I was like, what? But it was just a very appropriate piece to the time. You know, Trump had just got elected, and
yeah,
it was the first time that Lion King like didn't win, and you were like, ooh.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it was cool. I was happy to get to share my voice as a Hamilton cast member, but also as an emerging choreographer with the community, you know, so.
Yeah, it was cool. Absolutely. Very cool. So it's, had you met Andy before you got the offer for Hamilton? Did you meet him through the audition process or had you met him before that?
Yeah. So I have been auditioning for Andy since In the Heights, like years ago. I took his class back at the old Broadway Dance Center. You know, he taught a really, really popular class. Yeah. And I was doing Hot Feet at the time. And In the Heights was auditioning. And that was his first show, I believe. Yeah. And so he was like an emerging, you know, hot new choreographer. I was definitely in callbacks for Heights. And I never did the show, but I always auditioned for Andy. So then from there, he did Fly and Bandstand. I think I did some pre-pro for, yeah, I did some pre-pro for Heights. But at the time, I didn't understand what pre-pro. I would do so many things better. I just didn't get like that. That's like an incredible opportunity, you know, to work with and to be brought in. I think I just didn't get it. And I would definitely have taken more. I also wasn't as confident. I was just a body. I was like a dancer. And I'm like, okay, what do you need us to do? So that felt like kind of a missed opportunity, but it all in time, like it all happened for a reason. But yeah, so I always went in for Andy, but I actually, yeah, I never got a job. And I think that when Hamilton happened, there was a huge dancer call for the mixtape, the public, the workshop, even before the public. Yeah. So there was like a ton of New York City's best dancers. And we were auditioning in, but we did Rumor It Happened and Yorktown. It was the first time like anybody heard this music. And it was like, oh my God, like Rumor. When I heard Rumor It Happens, I was like, what is this music? And we learned that combination. Oh my gosh. It was amazing. And it's like cathartic. You're like, what is this? You know,
so cool.
I think I like sang, I made a cut and sang, but I didn't even get a call back from that big call. And I was like, well, that's cool. I hope, you know, I that show seems cool. And then a few months later, they opened at the public. There was all this talk, like this new show. And then they were opening on Broadway. And I got called in. So there were five women who eventually we all ended up being in the show in some way. But there were five of us that were called in because they needed a swing immediately. And I had a flight to go to California to visit my aunt. And my agent was like, well, it'll always be around. You can, you know, don't miss your flight. And I'm like, wait, but I feel like I should go. And I didn't know there were only five people called. So I get to the audition and there's like five of us. And I'm like, well, I'm really glad I'm here. And yeah. So we dance for the camera. They film us. We do those combinations. We do Rumor It Happens and I think Yorktown. And then we sing and that was it. And I remember my friend Camille Upshaw, she had gone to an open call. And I could just tell, like, you know, there's an energy, like, I'm like, I feel like you're gonna get this. Like, I feel like it just felt like her time.
Yeah.
And in the room, too. And I still knew it was important for me to be there. Like, I'm like, well, they put this on film and, you know, this show is just opening right now. But lo and behold, she booked it. Like, she got the swing position. I was like, great. And I was in California and I was really excited for her. It was her debut. And then I came back to New York and I saw her in the show like a couple months later. And I'm like, yay. And then a month after I saw the show, I get a call. I was set to do West Side Story Carnegie Hall. And that was 2 weeks away from when I got this call.
Sure.
And so my agent was like, okay, they're calling you in, but this is for an immediate replacement or immediate swing position. And if you, the call is tomorrow, but if they want you to get this, in order for us to get out of your Carnegie Hall West Side contract, you have to go in like now, like in 2 hours. So I was like, okay. And they were like, also, you're the only one called. So I was like, well, okay. Yeah. And I had another flight, like I was supposed to leave again or something. I'm like, well, I'm not going because now I'm like the only one. Okay, great. So now, and I was on the phone with my agent and they said 2 hours. And I was like, okay, well, I have to warm up my voice right now. There you go. And because it was just singing, we weren't even dancing. It was just singing. Yeah. So literally like my agent was like, look, this is going to happen.
Oh, wow.
In case you completely bomb this, like we have to make steps. Cause now my agent's thinking ahead and she's like, I have to get you out of your contract for a while. But I'm like, wait, I have to not bomb this too. Like I can't just like think I'm going to. So I take an Uber and I'm like warming up in the Uber and like I get to Telsey and it's literally Alex Lacamoire just sitting in a room in a piano. And Bethany, I think it was Bethany, casting. She's like, great. So I just sang my song. I sang a couple things for I Sang Rumor It Happens. I sang the Stay Alives, where like it was for a swing, so they just wanted to make sure like I could hit all the vocal harmonies.
Sure.
And I sat there with Alex, and he's like, "Okay, great. You just step outside, and we'll just talk." And so I stepped outside, and then him and Bethany came outside. It's so funny because this is bookending my Hot Feet experience, which both are very rare. Like it's just a weird experience, you know. So they're like, "Okay, we're good." So I wait outside, and then Alex and Bethany come out, and they're like, Bethany's like, "Great, so we're on board." I was like, "What is?" "We're on board." They were like, "Great, yeah, so you're gonna start tomorrow." I'm like, "What?" And you would think that I never booked a job ever in my life, because I like start crying. Like, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, really?" Well, it's,
oh my God.
You know, first of all, that moment never happens. Wow. Like, they don't do that. Like, they usually, you go home.
Of course.
You wait.
Yeah.
It's not like Alex Lacamoire and Bethany from Telsey in front of you being like, "You're joining Hamilton on Broadway." Like, I'm like, "Can I hug you?" Like,
right.
It was like dream sequence. Yeah.
Amazing.
So then, I mean, it was an exciting moment because they had just opened on Broadway 6 months before, and you know, it was a hot show, and it was like, I was at the point too where I put out into the universe, "Look, I did Gigi that last June, and then I was kind of like, okay, I want to choreograph, like this is what I want to do, you know, unless something crazy happens. I want to get like a long running." I literally said it. Like, I was like, "I want to be in a show, and I want to do my choreography, and I want to teach at Broadway Dance Center. I want to do those at the same time." It didn't even need to be Hamilton. Like, I just wanted like to be in a show. And then it happened. And so that's why the gratitude, like the tears came, because I'm like, I flashed forward and I was like, "I'm going to sit in this show for a while. I'm so happy to just have performed so many different works over the years. And I know so hard now that I want to choreograph and say what I want to say." And so to be able to perform high art at the same time was just, it was more than I could ask for. That propelled creativity, because Hamilton, especially in the beginning with those original cast members and Lynn still in the building, the heartbeat of creativity in that building, it was like constant. And to hear these words every night, legacy, like what is a legacy? And I'm a big advocate of like energy and how that can affect one's day to day. To have that creative pulse, sure, and the feeling of legacy in the building every day, subconsciously, like just washes over you. That is how I feel about my life in that show and how it works in tandem with me as a choreographer. And I'm happy to be a swing now. Like, I don't need to be on stage. Like, I'm happy to sit down.
Yes. Your legs are tired from choreographing all day. You're like, "I'm fine. I'm out tonight. No big deal."
Yeah. Well, literally, yeah. And that's my life, you know, like literally when pre-COVID and post-COVID, like it's like,
yeah,
like I said, like I'm a yes girl. So I'm like choreographing during the day. And then when I get to the show and they're like, "Carla, you're on." I'm like, "I'm so tired, but like, let's go. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Let me grab my third coffee and let's go." Yeah,
yes,
totally.
You know, like I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, this is what I asked for. Yeah.
That's so cool. So you're up to Other World at the moment. I would love to hear about that. From what I understand, it's your first like new musical that you're working on, and that has to be so exciting.
It is. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah, we, you know, it was a show that I auditioned for as a choreographer. A lot of people were interviewed, and then we had to submit prompts. The director is fantastic. She's a female director, Adrienne Campbell Holt, and she was the associate for Dear Evan Hansen, okay, Peter and the Starcatcher. Yeah, so she's definitely up and coming as well. And the writers are the writers of Title of Show, which was a very popular show.
Such a good show.
Hunter Bell, yes. Jeffrey Bowen, yes, and Anne McNamee is a composer as well. And so it has a lot of heart to it because they know what they're doing, you know, like that show was very, very loved.
They really
did. And they're fantastic. And I'm so grateful to be working with them. The show is about video games and inclusivity.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's so crazy. It's It's amazing. You know, that's the big part of the show is video games. And then they end up, the main characters end up in a video game and, you know, have to overcome lots of challenges externally, but also from within. And in the end, it is about connection and about relationships. But, you know, on the outside, like the spectacle of it is very exciting. And so we're working with a lot of fantastic team members, like Nevin Steinberg, who is Hamilton's sound designer, is actually our sound designer on Otherworld.
Oh, wow.
Mary Mitchell Campbell, who was at my Addams Family director, music director, and, you know, Mean Girls and Prom, she is the MD for Otherworld.
So
it's
cool.
So it has a lot of like great people involved. When Broadway shut down, I was actually on a leave of absence because we were premiering at Bucks County. And so it was the night of our first preview and we had to stop. So that was supposed to be the world premiere of the show. The show's been in development for 7 years, even before I was involved in it. Yeah. So it's a long time coming and it has never seen the stage yet. We are hoping to premiere it at Bucks this fall.
So exciting.
Yes, it's very exciting. So we're still in meetings and developing. You know, luckily this time has given us time to have those conversations and really nitty gritty develop each moment of the show. So we're on Zooms like twice a week with the writers, with the designers, but that's been taking up a lot of my pandemic. And I'm so grateful because I can still work towards, you know, something exciting choreographically.
An unexpected residency of sorts. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a great way to put it. So yeah, so I'm super excited with that. Yeah.
That's so cool. Any takeaways from working on a new musical that you might not have expected before you started working on it?
You know, the thing with working on a new show is that you have just so many options.
Right.
You know, like, it's like, okay, we could do this, we could do this. Maybe we should pick one, though, because what are we going to do?
Yes.
But, you know, the nature of this show requires such high collaboration within departments, you know, from sound to lighting to projection to costumes and then script. And it's really a huge mixing bowl. So I think it is challenging sometimes to have so many avenues you can take on top of having avenues like collaborating in deciding which avenue to take and what is getting the most for our buck and within the time constraints. I mean, time constraints has that right now, but in terms of like, if we are working towards this theater, you know, what can we do there? And then thinking forward, what's the Broadway version? I think it's always exciting when we have these conversations because we are always thinking that. We always say, okay, well, in the Broadway version, you know, maybe it's this, because you can, it's important to think like what are the limitless versions of the show that we can work towards? And then how can we scale that down? Also, the puppeteers who did War Horse are working with us. So it's really, really cool. And I love getting to remind myself that like, that's the whole team and like, it's going to be spectacular when it really does happen. But it's exciting, it's very ambitious, but in the end it really is, the writers created this beautiful story about connection and inclusivity. We have some disabled actors, we have LGBTQ, like all, we're really covering everybody. And not just, you know, like, oh, we have these people, it's like these, everyone's incredibly talented. Yeah. We've lost a couple of them because now they're leads on like series and, you know, things. And so the caliber of the talent is it speaks for itself. And I think that the show can provide that place for people to really just witness that everyone can exist in a world like the one that we're creating.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like such an exciting show, Carla.
It is cool. It is really cool. Sometimes I get caught up in like creation of it where I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have to like do this and I have to do that. But then stepping back and getting to talk to you, like I am reminded it's really cool to be a part of, and especially during this time, you know. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a good sign when you see a piece of art or hear about a piece of art and you say, I have never seen anything like that.
Yes.
Before. That to me is always a good sign. And as you're telling me about this show, I'm like, I can't wait to see that because I have never seen anything like that before.
Yes. Oh, yeah. you're so right. Yeah.
So I'm so excited for you. That's really amazing.
That's awesome. Thank you.
As we wrap up, I would love for the podcast series, I want to create a structure where I talk to wonderful choreographers such as yourself and then wrap it up with them recommending some other choreographers that inspire them and why they inspire you, in hopes that maybe I can get one of them on the series.
Okay. So Joanne Hunter. She was my mentor for Broadway Dance Lab's mentorship series at Pace, and I choreographed a piece and she kind of oversaw my process. And I just think she's inspirational as a female Asian American performer and choreographer, because, you know, she was Jerome Robbins' assistant and dancer for a long time. And yeah, I think she's fantastic. Also from that generation, like, I think she has a lot to say, you know, and currently still working and doing many things. Yeah. So I like her. I think Martha Nichols is really talented and up and coming. And she's has been doing a lot of associate work and her own choreography. And I think she's very unique and has a great voice. So some of these people I'm just fans of, like, I don't like personally, like, have a relationship. Yeah, okay.
Totally.
Camille Brown, definitely Camille Brown.
Absolutely.
Chloe Arnold, who I had mentioned.
Okay.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. I think that's a
awesome.
Those are four good ones. Yeah.
Yeah. They absolutely are.
I'm so excited for this series. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Carla. Thanks for being on it. It's really such a pleasure talking with you. These stories are so inspiring and wonderful. I can't wait to share them with other people. I think aspiring performers and performers can learn so much from your story about making the most of your time in between gigs, because sometimes people get on the hamster wheel and they really kind of lose sight of what it's all about. I'm sure we've all been in those places. So listening to your conversation hopefully reminds people that they are the masters of their own creativity.
I love that. That couldn't, you said it so, so well. And I also want to thank you. You know, I mean, you know, these moments where I get to reflect on, you know, the past 10 to 15 years, like, is a great reminder for myself that, like, okay, look how far we've come, but also, like, let's continue to share and create my own legacy and share with others and inspire and hopefully inspire others as well. So I'm very grateful for this time with you.
Special thanks to Carla Garcia for sharing her stories with us today. Tune in for our next episode featuring choreographer Liz Pacini.
The Ensemblist was produced by Mo Brady, Jackson Klein, and me, Justin Mock.
Please rate and review The Ensemblist wherever you listen to your podcasts, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or BPN.fm, the home of Broadway Podcast Network. Our Patreon members have on-demand access to our archive, including full conversations with our guests and early access to episodes. You can support us for between $5 to $20 a month at patreon.com/theensemblist. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.